you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, January 15th, 2021. Hey, the crowd is cheering. Jason is COVID-19 free. He's out of quarantine, back in the general public. I read one of your posts. I think you had said at one point you got caught up on 12,000 emails. And I know what that's like because my inbox has about 13,000 emails that I keep thinking I got to address that or do something with that or file that one. So we've talked a little off air, but you said your brain is starting to get a little more acclimated with clear thinking. But take us through some of that journey because most of us have heard of somebody with COVID or know someone down the road, but haven't really experienced what's all involved. Because we hear, oh, it's not so bad to, oh, it's devastating. So you and your whole family, so what, all six of you came down with it around Christmas time, right?
Yeah, well, what happened was Christmas Day, Tasha got up and she said, I'm not feeling good. Like Christmas Eve, we were great. We had great time at home reading our Advent book. We had a nice dinner together. We just had a good time on Christmas Eve as a family. And, you know, Tasha and I were obviously up late because we were wrapping the last gifts and we were filling the stockings after the kids went to bed. You know, everything was wonderful. And she went to bed and she got up the next morning and she just, on Christmas morning, and just wasn't feeling good. She just, you know, just didn't look good. And as the day progressed, you know, she held it together till around noon. The kids opened up their gifts. You know, we had a nice breakfast, but she held it together. And then she just said, I got to go lay down. And she just progressively got worse. And you could just see it. And Tasha's a pretty strong woman.
Right.
And she doesn't get sick a lot. But when she does get sick, she usually kind of tucks it in and then just pushes through. And so for her to kind of go, I can't. I was like, ooh, something's up here, you know. And then so the day after Christmas, she got up in the morning, and I think it was 9 o'clock in the morning or so, and she said, I'm going to go get tested. And I said, really? I said, are you okay? You know, and she said, I don't know. It's just, I got enough of the things that they say are symptoms that I'm concerned. So she went, and she didn't want to go alone, so she grabbed Abigail, and her and Abigail went together. And she came back and, you know, we kind of made some jokes during the day, you know, well, what if this happens? Oh my gosh, wouldn't that be crazy? You know, and what you do when you don't realize that those things could actually happen.
Right.
And the next morning, he says, Abigail and I are positive.
Wow.
And I go, wait, what? You know, because really, even though none of the rest of us were feeling sick, if she's suddenly positive, now the whole, all of us, because of contact, are quarantined too.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we said, okay, well, I guess we're all in the house here. We're all quarantined. Luckily, it was, you know, the day or 2 days after Christmas. So everybody kind of had some new things to play with and had, you know, some, everybody was just ready to kind of just chill out. And I took all the rest of the kids to get tested that day. And we came back and 2 days, a day later, Samuel was positive, I believe. And then the day we got Samuel's positive, we still hadn't gotten my test result back yet, but I just started to feel, I woke up and I just started to feel horrible. And by that night, I believe it was that night, Tasha goes, she was cooking in the kitchen. She was making dinner. She didn't feel good, but she's like, you know, it's my job. I'm going to make, she's making dinner. And Molly walked in and Molly goes, Mom, that smells amazing. And Tasha goes, I can't smell any of it.
Oh.
And I go, wait, what? You can't smell any of it? And she goes, no. And can somebody taste it? Because I tasted it and it just, I can feel the texture and all that, but I can't taste any of it. And I was like, oh, no. And the next morning I woke up and I was having some granola. And I said, man, this new granola I bought just stinks.
Yeah.
And Tasha said, what do you mean? I said, it just doesn't taste like anything. And Molly took some and she goes, Dad, it tastes like bananas. It's like banana granola. I go, no, I don't taste anything. And I go, I can't smell.
You know? Yeah, I think that's the day you text me. I don't have smell, or my taste buds are like gone, and I'm like, oh yeah, yeah. I think that was right in the time when you realize, yeah, you have it.
Yeah, it was the day after my birthday, because I felt
happy birthday.
On my birthday.
Yeah,
yeah, and I was able to taste. You know, Tasha had made me. I think I had cake. I don't know what kind. I had some kind of cake, and everything was really good. And I was like, oh, this is wonderful. And then, yeah. The next day, it was all downhill. And from there, yeah, it was just unlike anything else. Like I told you before, I've had the flu before. I have dealt with, you know, different kinds of sicknesses and illnesses. And the interesting thing is, and this is kind of my marker for, you know, when people say, well, how bad was it? I said, well, here, let me tell you how bad it was. Because I'm going to go from where I'm at in terms of my physical health. I mean, in 2020, I biked 5,000 miles.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
why I keep track of it via an app. So I bike 5,000 miles, 40 miles plus a day. I'm thinner than I've ever been. I'm in better shape than I was when I was 30. I mean, I've got a pretty advanced fitness tracker that I use that gives me my respiratory rate, my heart rate variability. It gives me all these different metrics all day long. And so I'm in good health. And this thing came along and just kicked my hiney. I mean, all I wanted to do was, I mean, I have never sleep until 10 o'clock in the morning, get up, go to the bathroom, come downstairs, go back to sleep, wake up, go to the bathroom, walk around and just see what everybody's doing and go back to sleep.
Yeah. And I think you just said like, and then the brain fog where you were recounting the one time you're just sitting there, you know, Tosh, I think I'm just going to look at the Christmas tree for a while, you know?
Yeah. I don't do that. I don't just sit. I use that. It's usually not what I do. And, you know, really even today, you know, I was off of quarantine, the beginning of this week, Tuesday, Wednesday. Wednesday was my first day officially off of quarantine. And I still, I mean, yesterday, I think I got up, I did a bunch of work. I took the kids, the one kid who can go to school right now. I took Abigail to school. I came home. I rode the trainer in. I've got a trainer in my garage. I rode that for an hour. And I came in and I did another hour's worth of work and I had to take a nap.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, I do not. And I, you know, we're on. So the fatigue, the brain fog. So like a number of days ago, I was roasting some vegetables in the oven, and all of a sudden Molly's like, Dad, something's burning.
Oh,
and I had just, and I mean, literally, I had put them in the oven and just forgotten about them.
Mm.
I mean, something else kind of caught my attention, and that's usually not the way, you know, anybody who knows me, and it's not a point of pride, but I'm pretty good at doing a couple of different things at one time. And I'm usually good at juggling that. And right now, you know, I've kind of made a rule for myself that I only am doing one thing at a time right now.
Sure.
Because if I don't do one thing at a time, I really lose track of it. And that's one of the things, a longtime radio listener who's become a really good friend of mine, I really love anytime I get to interact with him, Ken Welch.
Hmm.
He had the COVID, and he said that the brain fog really was one of the lingering things for him.
Hmm.
And so I can really feel that, you know, when I was talking to me, it was really kind of great. Ken had gone through some of those things. And so he and I were messaging back and forth, and he was really a good voice to say, hey, you know what? I know you're going to ride the trainer because you need to, you know, you want to keep the air, you know, keep air in the lungs, keep yourself moving, but just take it easy. Be careful, you know, and he really kind of slowed me down a little bit. So, yeah. So right now we're just kind of dealing with lingering fatigue and, the brain fog. What's fascinating is like Tasha, the fatigue has really left her. She's not really fatigued, but she has a cough that she just can't get rid of.
Hmm.
And so it's like that's one of the really interesting things about this whole COVID-19 journey is when I talk to people, because all of a sudden people come out of the woodwork and they're like, me too. I've got it. Oh my gosh. Everybody, it's a different path.
Hmm.
It's not like, you know, it's not, I've not heard somebody go, yeah, my journey is exactly the same as yours. You know, and that's really interesting how this virus just attacks different people in different ways. But if there's anything that I've learned, Mark, and I know that this is a hot topic and it's such a point of contention, but having gone through it and having had, I mean, there were a few days where it was just miserable that, you know, wear a mask because, you know, if we can kind of keep, I couldn't imagine being 80 years old and having to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
And or maybe being having some real health problems, maybe high blood pressure or things like that. I mean, like I said, I'm in the best shape of my life, and there were some moments where I'm like, this is rough. I'm not, you know, I don't know how you do this if you're. So I just keep telling people, I'm like, number one, it's not the flu. Because I've had the flu, and even what's interesting is they're using my data as part of a study. I use this band called the Whoop, and that's the fitness tracker I use. Whoop contacted me because I sent them an email. Well, I sent them an email, and then they contacted me back because they want to use my data to be able to study what COVID looks like going through, because they have all my data from working out. They have all my data from exercising. They have all my data for a whole year for my fitness profile. And so now they want to take that and see how COVID-19 affects somebody who's at this level of fitness. And so it's really kind of interesting that I'm really thankful to the Lord that that data is going to be used in some way, shape, or form, maybe to help some other people journey through this too. And so, but I just couldn't imagine. So, I mean, the COVID-19, it is a real thing. It is not the flu. It is more than the flu. And really the difficult thing is that it affects so many different people in so many different ways. It's as if it kind of attacks where you're weakest at. You know, maybe some people that's respiratory, maybe some people, you know, that's just, I don't know, but it just seems to affect people in different ways. And so we need to try and keep each other safe. I mean, I just keep thinking about folks who, you know, might not be as resilient or might not be as, you know, able to fight something off. So.
Yeah, I didn't get to mention this earlier in the week with various things going on, but, you know, my dear beloved godmother Mary Mosser passed away on Monday, Monday evening, and I think, you know, especially the seniors are so vulnerable, and she had had some health issues and had some deterioration in her thinking and some other things, but her son Wayne contacted me, you know, a few hours afterwards to let me know. And, you know, there's the people that are most vulnerable. You want to be especially cognizant of the fact of what you're doing. But it's sad because many of them that are in retirement homes, they're not allowed to have visitors. And so it's really hard, you know, for how to reach out and communicate when there's a lot of barriers in place for their safety. But somewhere they're not thinking clearly. They don't understand why their family isn't visiting them or what's going on. You know, their cognitive abilities for various reasons are diminished, and so they just don't understand, you know, COVID is to be taken really seriously. So, you know, with the vaccines coming out and such, I mean, I know people are really hoping that that'll be a big turn in the coming few months. But, yeah, it's been life-altering for everyone on this planet, really.
Yeah, and it's been hard, too, I think, because if we're all honest, the effects of it and our journey through it and even the vaccine piece of it and what the future looks like has been so highly politicized. It's been used to steer different political agendas and different kinds of things by all different sides. And so, you know, there isn't kind of the purity of going through this and just dealing with the virus. There's all this other stuff that's going on. And I think that that's caused us to feel like there's not a sense of clarity. And I mean, there really is. When it started to happen, both Tasha and I said, now, what are we supposed to do? Is it 10 days? Is it 14 days? How does this all work? Because we thought we had a handle on it. And then we talked to somebody and we're like, oh, we didn't really know what we were doing. You know, there's so much ambiguity out there. And I'm not saying that, you know, having seniors in retirement homes and not able to have visitors is the right thing or the wrong thing, because I'll be honest with you. This is our first time. I don't know what the right thing and the wrong thing is, but I do know that we're kind of in a place where we have to find a balance, you know, and the problem with, I think, this issue becoming so politicized is that there are people on the left and there are people on the right, and those people are they're all the way on the left and they're all the way on the right. And what this situation right now is really lacking is balance. You know, balance in saying that we are going to be safe and we are going to take this seriously. We're going to do whatever we can in terms of mitigation to try and make sure that the spaces that we do inhabit together are safe. But also understanding that we need to do that because we do need to somehow be together. It is not good for us not to be together. You know, because human contact is what we're wired for. The Bible says it's not good to be alone. And so we have to find this balance, because it's not healthy for us to just simply lock ourselves in our homes and not have any kind of contact. Now, if you do pop up positive, you have to quarantine for the number of days till the virus is inactive and you're able to not be an asymptomatic carrier or even a symptomatic carrier. But in the same token, in everyday life, we have to find a way to still interact and still be together, you know, because I've had people who have told me, you know, they've said, well, you know what I mean? We just can't be around people. We just got to do it. And I said, gosh, how is that going to work for us?
Mm-hmm.
How is that? Because, you know, we already in this kind of season of life seem to have a lack of empathy as a people. And so now we're not going to look people in the eyes, and now we're not going to talk to people in the same room. And that's not going to help the problem that we already have. It's going to exacerbate it. And there's going to be, for a lot of people, a really deep kind of regret and frustration that they don't know is regret and frustration. And it's going to well up, and it comes out in antagonism. That's why people today, I think, are more antagonistic. They're less empathetic. They're more antagonistic. I mean, I have witnessed over the last, you know, number of weeks and months, just conversations where you're like, wow, really? You know, I mean, I was privy to watch a conversation about the drive-through line at McDonald's, where people were treating it like it was, you know, it was the injustice of the world. Like, you know, it was the mass slaughter of a people group. You know, they're like, I can't believe it. You know, they make me drive up and I don't get my food right away. And I'm like, wow, really?
Yeah.
Like all the things that are going on right now, like maybe we could believe that everybody's doing their best and also understand that everybody's never done this before. You know, a restaurant like McDonald's has never... They have a formula where this percentage goes to the drive-through and this percentage walks in and gets their food. And now that formula is blown up because everybody goes to the drive-through. And so can we just pause for a moment and say, listen, I believe that everybody is trying to do their best. And I'm going to start with that. And then when they don't do their best, I'm going to go, you know what? I'm going to exercise grace and some humility and some love and some forgiveness and some mercy. I'm not going to step off of the truth, but at the same time, I need to afford this right now because I don't know what that other person's day is like. You know, there was a business that had opened in Champaign. I was privy to a conversation where somebody said, well, I can't believe that they're open. I can't believe that they're serving food. I can't believe that they're doing that. And I said, you know, that person just opened that business. During this difficult time, I mean, I couldn't even imagine opening a business that serves food during this time.
Mm.
And I said, maybe that person has made all kinds of concessions all the way along, and now they couldn't make another one. They've taken all kinds of chances before, and they couldn't afford to take another chance. They had to open the doors, or else they lose everything. You don't know, and I don't know. So we need to have some grace right now because there's a lot of people making a lot of decisions, and not because they're evil or they're mean or they're unkind or they're that. It's because they're where they're at, and maybe they can't take another chance. And so we need to have some grace and reach across that aisle and say, listen, I love you. You know, I really want to walk alongside you. I'm sorry you're having a bad day. Of course I want to pull up in the drive-through line and go park over there and you'll bring me my food out because, gosh, it must just be tough trying to keep up right now. You know, and just have some grace and some humility and some love, because when I look around in the world right now, I go, man, there is really an absence of grace and humility and love and all the things that Jesus calls us to come into the world with.
Mm-hmm. And if there ever was a time that Christians could stand out, if you will, or exhibit the fragrance of Christ, showing care and compassion and bringing hope, now would be the time to do it, and not to be just like everyone else, griping and moaning and complaining and being agitated and on edge and, you know, just recycling what everyone else is saying, like, we're upset, this is terrible. You know, hopefully that fragrance of Christ can be exhibited and displayed and used for kingdom purposes.
Yeah. When times are good, it's easy to be good.
Yeah.
When times are bad is when kind of where we are comes out. You know, and somebody said to me the other day, this is just a good example, you know, it's a good reminder to me too. somebody called me on the phone and they said, you know, I'm just so frustrated with what's happening in the world. And I really believe that, you know, Christian persecution, it is coming. It is coming. And I said, well, you know, I said, I don't know if it's coming or not coming, but the Bible does say that we will face persecution, so we shouldn't be shocked by it. In fact, the Bible says, don't be surprised, brothers, when you get persecuted. But I said, hey, can I just ask you, like, a quick question? How are you on your Bible reading and that? Oh, man, you know, I'm trying to keep up, but, you know, I'm like, and I said, listen, can I just give you a word? I said, I don't know, I don't think this is a word from the Lord. This is just a word. If you believe that persecution is coming, and if you believe persecution in the magnitude that you believe or you fear is coming, then you better memorize that book, because there's going to come a day where you can't even read it, and you're going to desperately need the words that are in there. And so you right now, your answer to coming persecution should be to get in that book and to internalize that book. You know, the reason that we have the Old Testament is because when those Jews were exiled into Babylon, they remembered the scripture. They memorized it, and they were able to write it down, even when all those copies of the scripture were destroyed and lost. And so we need to be like those people who understand that if that is indeed coming, that we are in this book in such a way that we can recant and recite and know what it says.
That reminds me, our memorization Mondays that we are continuing with, we just got a case of the 100 Bible verses everyone should know by heart. I think about 15 or 20 people requested those. So if you're one of them and you're tuned in today, expect that book to arrive in the next few days and get that scripture in your memory, ponder it, think about it, because it'll point you to this loving, sovereign God that has everything under control. And he'll take us through, he'll carry us through this time and into the future, and things will work out according to his plans and purposes. So, well, thank you, Jason. Next Friday, we're going to start at chapter 2 of James, around verse 5. So I hope our listeners can join us then and be in their churches, the ones that are open, or attend via Zoom or the various mechanisms that are being provided in this creative time. But read your Bible today and join us again next Friday as we'll go through the book of James together. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day, night, and weekend.